Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith, and hope. Discover more interviews at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Hello, this is Stephen O'Doherty, and a special interview now prompted by the celebration of Mother's Day. That occasion made us think about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Who was Mary? What kind of mother was she? The Bible gives us a few glimpses about Mary, and without wanting to add or subtract from God's word, we did want to explore what it might have been like for Mary, this most extraordinary of human beings. Naomi Reid is an author and mother who spent many years as a missionary in Nepal doing physiotherapy work. Naomi often travels to churches and dramatizes the lives of women in the Bible. We asked Naomi Reid to help us speculate just a little about Mary, the mother of Jesus. When you speak at churches about women in the Bible, and when you speak about Mary herself, how do you imagine her to be?
Yes, I think when, as you said, we were in Nepal working with a mission agency for a long time. And when we came back to Australia, it was leading into Christmas. And the thing I noticed about Christian churches in Australia compared to Nepal is that in Nepal the church is quite new and young, and so they read the Bible and they're, oh wow, we've never heard this before. But in Australia, I think in some churches there's this feeling that we read particularly the birth narratives around Jesus and we have heard it before. In fact, we've heard it so many times. And so actually I started thinking about trying to tell Bible stories through monologues, through first person work, just to try to get us to think differently, to think from a different perspective, to try to get in the text, to make it fresh, to make the stone stony again, to hear it, to feel it. So I decided I'd start with Mary that particular Christmas. And I imagined her actually as a 70-year-old Mary, because I think sometimes at Christmas we sort of do the donkey baby shepherd story over and over again. But actually Mary, if you ask her, if you talk to her, if you sit down with a 70-year-old Mary, she would have told the whole story. And she would have even, at 70, she would have been 20 years after the cross, if she, of course, was still alive. We don't know. There's so much we don't know. But just imagining what she would say as a 70-year-old Mary. So I start looking back and remembering, and as you said, she treasured, she remembered, she pondered all of these things. So that's where I start when I do a Mary monologue.
In your thinking, and we, you know, have to make the point that we're sort of going a little bit outside the extra biblical at this point, but we do know some things. Like Mary was a very young girl, so looking back, she would have thought to herself, "Goodness, I was so young, and yet I didn't know this amazing appearance occurred to me and said I'd bear the Son of God. What's that all about?"
I know. She was so young, as you said. She didn't know anyone else who'd seen an angel. I mean, there hadn't even been the 400 years of silence, so it wasn't even expected that anything would happen that week, that day, that year. So there she was. He's suddenly there. Yes, as you say, telling her you're going to bear the Son of God. And just imagine what went through her mind in that instance. But isn't it interesting, of course, that the angel always begins with, "Don't be afraid."
Yes.
You know, "Don't be afraid, the Lord is with you."
Yes.
And then tells her. And then she doesn't even, her question is, how will this be? And that's interesting as well, not why or I don't know.
Why me?
How? And he tells her. But then, of course, it feels like she then, you know, submits and she says, you know, "Let it be to me." But what I find actually really interesting, the next section of particularly reading Luke, she goes to visit Elizabeth and the baby, John the Baptist, of course, in Elizabeth's womb, he moves in response. You know, that's incredible. But then straight after that is Mary sings. And so I think that Mary, you know, at some level there's this just deep awareness and assurance that God has remembered his people, because her song is all about her soul glorifies the Lord because he's remembered them. You know, he hasn't just remembered her, he's remembered all of them. It says Abraham and his descendants forever, and just as he promised our ancestors. So she's thinking, you know, she's getting this deep you know, awareness and complete conviction that it's God who is doing something amazing, that he's remembered them, that he's fulfilling all of his promises way back.
He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him.
Yes,
his mighty arm has done tremendous things.
Yes.
Sometimes called the Magnificat, of course, the Song of Mary from
Luke. So she's singing, she's deeply convicted by the truth of that.
And she's got a sense that she is now involved in the rescue of the people of Israel themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And yet then you would have thought, I wonder whether there was a disconnect then, because from there she has this lonely existence where she, as a young mother out of wedlock, although she's got a very faithful husband, wonderful, then they go to Bethlehem, and it's pretty humble. It's not what you might have imagined.
Not what she might imagine at all. And there must have been, as you said, that moment before, you know, the angel then appeared to Joseph in a dream, but before that, was there ever a time where, he found out, perhaps she thought, would she never see him again? You know, she didn't know. She had this deep conviction on the one hand, of course, that this is God doing this incredible thing. But on the other hand, her human responses of fear or worry or feeling the shame of it, we don't know. And I think that actually reminds us in all of us that we all have this deeply human worry and fear and not knowing. And yet at the same time, as Christians, as people who believe in Jesus, that we have this deep conviction that God is true and sovereign and working his purposes out in everything. So I think she must have felt that tension as well, as you said. Yeah,
yes.
And then there's all these lovely little tiny moments that she gets that remind her of the conviction in her way. And I think it's lovely, you know, the shepherds arriving and they, you know, they worship, and then of course they go off and tell everyone, they're amazed. And even then after that, you know, you get this tiny, again, a little glimpse of she's at the temple, and Simeon comes along, and after all these years, his eyes are finally seeing God's salvation. So he's in amazed. He's a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and glory to the people of Israel. And so she's getting a tiny, you know, somebody else. A few other people have that same conviction that she has.
Yes.
And yet, Simeon turns to her and says, a sword will pierce your own soul too.
Yes.
And I just wonder, how did that sit with her over the next 33 years? You know, did she ever think of that? Did she wonder?
Oh, she must have. As they led him away, as they nailed him to a cross, as she saw him die, she was there. She witnessed it all. In your monologues, how is Mary remembering this?
Yeah. She's looking back. So when I put myself in Mary, she's an old. So she is also looking back, of course, on the resurrection. But I think in that moment, how can we imagine? She's right there by the cross. It says near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, and none of us can imagine that. Even though she's got this deep conviction, she's seen the angel. She's had that moment when he was 12 at the temple where, again, she's lost him, she's confused, she's undone, you know. And he says, don't you know I'd be at my father's house? So she's had these moments. But then in the end, she'd be like any of the other of us mothers. She'd just, her heart would have broken. And when I perform this, I get into her and thinking, well, how is it just as a mother to see her son on the cross and this most horrendous death, and she just, I don't know how she could have breathed, or did she turn away? I don't know how she could have borne it.
And then she saw him again.
She did. She did. And we don't know again if she was, of course, there was a group of women at the tomb, or had she gone off with John? But either way, of course, yes, she saw him again. And then, you know, for her, it coming together, then I don't know, we can't imagine, but understanding again from the beginning, God has remembered them. God will bring about his promises. God is redeeming them. Because, of course, you know, the promise to Joseph was, you will name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins.
Yes.
So how she, along the way, put that together, we don't know, but I imagine that it's, you know, little by little, the truth became very, very clear to her.
Naomi Reid, when in your monologue Mary is looking back at the age of 70, I imagine someone might ask her, would you do it all again?
Yes. And what would she have said? Oh, she would have said yes, because by 70 as well, that's 20 years from the cross, imagining if she'd lived that long, we don't know. But she would have then, by then, seen the birth of the early church. She would have seen, you know, perhaps she was there at Pentecost. You know, she would have seen his words spread to the Roman world as they knew it at that time. And I think, as an older woman, she would have just been treasuring it, and she would have been knowing as well that her time is coming to an end. You know, we don't know that Joseph, we imagine, of course, has passed away at some point prior to Jesus' ministry, because there's no mention of him. So she's alone, but I think she would have, as a mother, been just deeply grateful for. Oh, how could she not? We can't even imagine, but we can't even put it into words how she would have felt at that time. But I think she just would have pointed straight back to God, who from the beginning, you know, remembers us and has kept all of his promises, beginning with Abraham.
Yeah, it's a beautiful story, and we've taken some license. What, Naomi Reid, what do you take out of it as a mother when you reflect on Mary of all the women in the Bible?
Yeah, I think for her, just the fact that she, in her, because there's also that moment, of course, in Luke 8, it says that Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, to see Jesus, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. You know, and he replies, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. That's an interesting incident, you know, that somehow she's following along in the ministry.
Yeah, well,
that's
thanks great. A bunch.
Yeah, it's not going well for her. And I think as mothers, look, we might have a lovely Mother's Day. You know, I got breakfast in bed and I watched one of our sons play soccer. It was a lovely day. Yeah. But in every lovely day, there are hard moments. Sometimes they're deeply hard. Sometimes it's just frustrations and irritations. I talked to one lady at church today, actually, whose grandson had a 3.5-hour temper tantrum today, you know. And so even on, in every life, you know, there are this constant mix of deeply grateful and a conviction of God has us alive for this time, but also this pain and longing of things aren't really how we imagine they might be. Hmm. And so for her, she had perhaps an even extreme of that, but a deep conviction of what God was doing through Jesus. But also the pain of it, and the questions and the unanswerables, and we all have that. And I think for me as a mother in the middle of my current worries, is to step back and hold the perspective, actually, God is still sovereign, he's still on his throne, he's still working out his purposes in every individual life, including our children who we worry about every day.
Well, that's beautiful. Naomi, we're out of time to talk about your next project, but it's called The Conductor.
Uh-huh.
It's a drama in which, and it's an allegory like your other production, which is called The Zookeeper.
Yes.
Which is now in, it's been published into a book, which is pretty exciting.
Yes.
Where can people go to find out more about your ministry?
Well, they can go to my website, www.naomireid.info, to find out about books and dramas and allegories and thinking about God. Sometimes just from a different angle allows us to really have that heart response again, because this is not a boring message, the gospel. It's incredible. And sometimes we need to just look from a different perspective to be really deeply moved again by what God has done through his son.
Oh, that's marvellous. Thank you so much for being with us tonight, Naomi.
Thank you. Lovely.